I'm going to get a little personal for this next conversation. I am broadcasting from home today, which is the pandemic normal. But on Monday, I broadcast from the station for the first time in about 15 months. And I got to tell you, it felt pretty incredible. I was really happy, especially to be with our colleagues at WBUR in Studio 3. But on the drive in Monday morning, I admit that I got to reflecting a little bit about all the ways that my life, my work, the way I interact with my family, my health, you name it, had changed during the pandemic. And I wondered what I wouldn't be able to hold on to going back into the office. That's little things and big things. Everything from could I keep up exercising to would I be ornery and short-tempered with my family when I got home at night. The truth is that I actually felt thrilled and energized at the end of the day. I was excited to reconnect with my family when I got home. And I recognize that that is all privileged stuff. A lot of people, including, for example, most of engineers here at WBUR, never got to go home. And I kept my job. I get all of that. But there are real questions that everyone has about who we have become during the pandemic, how we've adjusted, and what we do and don't want to keep about those changes now that we're finding our collective way back out into the world. And we invite you to talk about that with us now. That's the conversation. What's on your mind about it? What changes, big or small, have you made during the pandemic because of the pandemic? Maybe you're eating out less. Maybe you're maintaining family game nights. Maybe you've been less connected or more connected with other people. Maybe you've ended or started a relationship. What do you want to keep? What do you want to lose? What are you worried about? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Pull up a chair and join this conversation. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. So with us to have this conversation, Bethany Van Delft, the host of The 10 News and Artisanal Comedy and co-host of Parentalogic on Nova PBS, and Beth Tytel, a features reporter with the Boston Globe. Bethany, Beth, good to have you both back. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi. Thanks.
Glad to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So I felt a little funny telling everybody my story there, Bethany, but I wonder, are you thinking about the same things? Are you reflecting on this stuff too?
Absolutely. I actually just had my first weekend live in person indoors comedy show. 5 shows. So it was really interesting. I'm listening to you talk about getting back to the studio and all the little details that you don't think about, like just getting a lift to the venue, or that process of saying hello to every single person on the way in before you get a little quiet in the green room to, you know, prepare for your set. Getting a lift after, like I forgot the rideshare rush at the end of a show. So all of those things that I completely forgot about doing Zoom shows, you know, putting on half a face of makeup and half of an outfit and saying goodnight to my kids and then running in the bedroom and locking the door. But I can come right back out actually and catch them in time before the lights go out and their story's over to snuggle with them one last time. Those kind of things I'm thinking about. I'm happy to get back to it. I'm happy to be back in person. But I really do think I'm going to miss being on top of each other all the time. Just the expectation that everyone in my family is always going to be right there.
Beth Tytel, you know, you write about this. You have been sort of the observer of how we absorb pandemic life for 15 months now. I guess I'm imagining as you're listening to me, you're listening to Bethany, you're thinking, I'm not surprised to hear this.
Yeah, you're right. I was actually listening to both of you thinking about, oh, I haven't been back to the Globe newsroom yet. But, you know, one thing a lot of people like that's very convenient is being able to do laundry during the middle of the day. So I'm thinking that maybe the Globe and maybe other companies might want to, you have the lunchroom, but then there's also like a laundromat on site. I think that would actually take some of the pressure off.
As long as none of my colleagues leave their underwear in the dryer.
Right. You have all the stuff. But Tiziana, you're so right. I mean, I've been talking to people for 15 months now about it all. And people are really hesitant to go back to the office. It's one thing that I've been struck by is a lot of companies are going hybrid. But then there's the question of, do we all take the same day back at home? You know, everyone has to be home the same day, because otherwise you can end up in a situation where you're not, the companies aren't really achieving what they want. But then that kind of gets in a situation where a lot of what people enjoy about going to the office, in addition to the work, if you like your work, is seeing people. But now you're going to have to plan, like, are you going to be in on Tuesday? No, I can't do Tuesday. I have a thing. How about Wednesday? I'd be like trying to make plans, you know, to get together with a friend to take a walk or something. I think this is just changing everything.
I want to go ahead and get to the phones. We'll go back and forth between the two of you and the phones throughout this. 1-800-423-8255. What about you that's changed? Are you thinking about as we find our way back out into the world? We've got Alicia on the line in Nashua, New Hampshire. Alicia, go ahead.
Hi. Well, I actually work in a laboratory. So for most of the pandemic, I was actually in the lab where a majority of my coworkers were working from home. And I got to have this flexible hybrid where there are certain days that I could work from home. And now that, you know, things are better and a lot of us are all vaccinated, a majority of my older colleagues actually want to get back into the office, whereas I feel like some of the younger generation are like, no, we've proven we can do hybrid. Why aren't we allowed to do this? Because we have all of our different routines now that we've set up. So it's kind of hard, that discussion.
And Alicia, I do want to ask you before we let you go, as people start to come back, does it feel weird to you, uncomfortable or exciting to have colleagues literally physically back in your space when you've been used to being there when others weren't?
I think where I didn't have anyone around really other than a few of my colleagues who worked in the lab with me, we set up our safe spaces. So having all these new people coming around, I think, yeah, it's really jarring to kind of go through those changes. We're actually, I spoke to a lot of my other colleagues in the lab, and we had discussed if anyone else comes in, they have to still wear a mask, even though we're all vaccinated, because we're just not there yet. Just because we're, you know, thinking we're past the trauma, we're all dealing with our own traumas in our own way.
Alicia, thanks for that. And Bethany, so much in what Alicia just said, both from the generational differences and how people are valuing being in the workplace now to the collective trauma that may or may not be in line with the science on this. So just first reactions to what we just heard from Alicia.
Bethany. Me?
Bethany. Yeah,
oh,
Bethany.
Hi.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. There really is this kind of two camps right now. I've noticed just this past weekend, there's the group of people that are like, it's over, that's it. They're not wearing masks and it really feels like it's pre-pandemic. And then there is another group of people, which I didn't really see this group until the late show on Saturday night, but another group of people that are still cautious. They're still wearing their masks, even though you don't have to. I had my mask on the entire time I was indoors, except for when I was on stage. And I felt kind of foolish, like maybe I'm clinging to this trauma or something rather and calling it being cautious. But like I said, I did see people the late show on Saturday also wearing their masks and enjoying a show, figuring out what feels safe to them or what they're comfortable with as first steps in this reentry process. So I don't know. I am so interested to see how it all pans out, to see if maybe people do go back to putting their masks on as variants circulate, or I don't know, maybe I'll take my mask off for good, or maybe this is just going to be a part of my face for the rest of time. I don't really know.
So I got to turn to Beth Tytel on this, because Beth, of course, you wrote this piece about the chin mask, right? Which was a different thing 6 or 12 months ago when people were angry about those wearing their masks down on their chins, because if it's not over your nose, it doesn't protect you, to now sort of representing the mask limbo and the transition in which we're living.
Right. I was thinking that we're really in this liminal space right now. We're sort of in between. I mean, for some people, as Bethany was just saying, it's like the pandemic is over. For others, it remains a very real and present crisis, and they're afraid. So I noticed that it just seems like more than ever, the hot look for summer is the mask underneath your chin. It's like kind of part beard, part fanny pack. And people used to get so mad at people wearing their masks inappropriately, just underneath their nose, which was like the craziest way ever. But this isn't that. This mask says sort of, I'm here to serve. It's like the Tom Hanks of masks. It's not trying to offend anybody. But people wearing it didn't even, after a while, it just sort of becomes part of their summer look, which seems kind of sad. I was thinking that in the future, nobody would even, that would just become a style unto itself. And nobody would even remember that there was a time that it was used to halt disease transmission.
Okay.
But I think it is sort of a physical and facial embodiment of where we are.
I just have to take a second to give a bow to the phrase Tom Hanks of masks. That is never gonna leave me now. All right, I want to go back to the phones here. 1-800-423-8255, where we have Stephanie, not Bethany, Stephanie in Tyvertown, Rhode Island. Stephanie, go ahead.
Hi. So I'm a midwife and I work throughout the whole pandemic and still continue. And I commute from Rhode Island to Boston. And during the pandemic, I really enjoyed the little traffic there was heading in. But now I'm starting to really not like the traffic. But I was saying, I just reflecting on one of the things that my husband and I, I'm glad we did early on, was childcare. We were hesitant and we had friends with toddlers the same age as my son that were hesitant to put their kids in childcare just yet, even though some places were open. So we did it, and we needed to socialize him because he's an only child, and I'm glad we did. He's gotten some socialization, and now I'm finding that some friends are having difficulty getting into childcare places as some still remain closed or have certain limits. So that's one of the things I'm glad we kind of did early on, even though we were worried, but we were both vaccinated and just cautious sending him in. So
thanks for bringing it up, Stephanie. And Bethany, as I come back to you, I'm thinking about just the practicalities of what Stephanie's talking about and also how it relates to things like concerns over a she session where women, because of childcare needs, for example, but not that's not the only one, sometimes elder care needs, other household needs, have just not had the support to be able to work the way they needed to, lost jobs, taken a step back. There is a lot to sort out for us. You know, I'm talking about the stuff I'm choosing. There's a lot we can't choose that we have got to sort out in order to come back into the world collectively and in a healthy way too, Bethany.
Yeah, I mean, it really, everyone is having, in the beginning, everything was all about, we're all in this together. But over the course of 15 months, we really do see that while we are experiencing this, you know, global crisis together, we're all experiencing it so differently. You know, one particular about my family is that we have a family member who's very high risk for COVID. So, and not a child. So there is no vaccine yet for children. So while under 12, yes, child under 12. So while many families are, you know, the adults are vaccinated and so they're going on vacations and they're having play dates and they're getting together, we are not there yet. You know, we're still trying to navigate how do we interact with other people now, still with our children unvaccinated and one such, you know, at such a high risk for COVID. So I think it's just, again, super interesting how we're all experiencing this so differently and how important it is to get out of your own perspective for a minute, pick your head up and look around and see that, yeah, we're all really experiencing this on different levels and different intensities.
So Beth Tytel, I'm going to turn back to you in a minute, but I want to get a couple more voices here. One is from Twitter, at Liz McCarthy, who told us, I've stopped taking things for granted. We lost both my father-in-law and my dad, not from COVID, during pandemic and weren't able to hold or attend funerals for either. Attending kids' sports events, used to hate it, I'm a bad mom, crossing state lines at will. That was at Liz McCarthy. And I'm sorry for your losses, Liz. And I want to add another voice here. Caller 1-800-423-8255. We've got Denise in Watertown. Denise, go ahead.
Hello?
Hi, Denise, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm very excited to be on air for the first time, and I'm a supporter of your station. I want to say that I agree with all the callers. Everybody's been very different through COVID. I'm vaccinated. I'm an extrovert. I get out almost every day during COVID. I don't have children, so I guess I'm lucky there. But I was a social worker, and I understand that women with children without a significant other in the house were definitely stressed out, and my hat goes off to them. However, back to my experience, I was able to go out to nature every day, walk around the Charles River with my husband. My relationship was good with my husband, but it got even tighter. And I was able to see the winter for the first time and its colors and the blue-green ice on the ponds over at Mount Auburn Cemetery. I looked at the trees differently, the gray and the brown. I just saw the whole winter and on a whole different level. And
let me take it back from you there, Denise. Denise, thank you. Thank you for the call, and thank you for the support. Beth, I want to come to you. What strikes me in hearing Denise, and there was something really bucolic, really joyous about what she was saying, but also some of the pain and loss that we heard from Liz McCarthy over Twitter. This is a moment where joy intersects with pain.
Yes. Yes. I think I interviewed people. A lot of people I talked to were having what they described as existential crises. And because of the pain, they took a look at how they were living and thought death seemed very present to everybody. Perhaps they had lost somebody or just afraid of their own lives. A lot of people took a look at how they were living and saying, this is it? Is this what I want my life to be? And hearing her to describe the winter made me think about people I talked to who just decided to slow down. Like they had just been self-described type A people. And then during the pandemic, they actually started enjoying nature and spending time with family members without constantly feeling like, well, I've got to leave in 10 minutes or I need to get, you know, to do this. So I think it has been such an intense time for people. At the same time, I think people are still people. Like I've interviewed so many people who were talked to me during the pandemic about missing their families. And last summer they couldn't go on the family reunion. And this summer they're on the family reunion. And now they're complaining to me about their family members. So I think that some things do change, but some things actually never change.
So Bethany, I heard you chuckle there.
Because we forget so quickly, don't we? One of my favorite things about New England is everyone complaining in the winter about the cold and then everybody complaining about the heat in the summer and not remembering how badly you were waiting for summer while it was winter. And I kind of feel the same about this pandemic, and I really am being very intentional and very conscious of that. And while, you know, in this past 15 months, when it was overwhelming to just be on top of each other, there's four of us in our household, just when it got overwhelming to just take a minute to think about what a rare opportunity this has been to be together, to watch the kids grow, to be right there for every little thing, and how much I'm actually going to miss it when they're back at school and we're back working out of the house, how I will look back on these times and really miss it. So trying to enjoy it as much as possible while it's going on and while I want to yell, go upstairs, but really just being very grateful that we have this time together.
All right, that is Bethany Van Delft, host of the 10 News and Artisanal Comedy and co-host of Parental Logic on Nova PBS, and Beth Tytel, a features reporter with the Boston Globe. So glad you could both join us for the conversation. Thanks a bunch.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
All right, folks, that is our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Tiziana Deering. So glad you listened and called and joined us. Do it again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.